to the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast, coming to you from DraftKings Studios with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
That's right. We are coming to you live, week one. Betts, this new studio setup, I mean, does it get any better?
No, it doesn't. I mean, DraftKings, they hooked us up, man. This new studio is awesome. We got everything we need here, new equipment. I mean, it is just, it's top of the line. That's really what it is.
It's great showing up to the studio, aka I'm at home in Georgia, you're at home in Vermont. I am wearing pants this morning because I'm going to have to take them off once I win this showdown slate that we're talking about today, which is Tampa Bay and Dallas. So normally, this is our first ever Tuesday podcast, but normally this will be a preview, a first look for the week. But we did that last week for you. So if you're here and you are looking for DFS content for the main slate, we previewed that this past week. This coming Friday, we will have all of the main slate. But we wanted to make sure that first Thursday night was something that you got to jump in fully for DFS. You've probably been thirsty for it for a while, and so we wanted to give it to you. And I wanted to start off with a question I feel like we don't talk about a lot. It's usually analysis, it's player takes, but what are you playing in personally on Thursday night for DraftKings? What kind of contest are you playing in?
Yeah, on DraftKings, I'm looking at the $5,000 hard count. It is a three-entry max tournament, $20 to enter. That one is a mid-range in terms of size tournament. I like that. You know me, I like the three-entry and single-entry type of formats. And then on FanDuel, I'm looking at the $5 entry, $1,000 small rush. It's a seven-entry max, but it's a smaller tournament. It's only 238 people. I found way more success personally in those types of formats rather than the huge, like, 150 max, you know, like, 100,000 people. That's not necessarily my scene. So if you want to play against me, that's where I'll be this week.
For showdown slates, Betts and I play more tournaments just because there's so much variance game to game. I love playing in single entries because you only get one shot, as our boy Marshall Mathers say. And so there are some really cheap single entries. For instance, the 10K daily dollar, you can play that every single week. It's only a dollar for a single entry. There's another one that's a $3 single entry. Any of those, a dollar, $3, $5, like, just jump in. It's a single entry. You can do it. But if you are someone that's like, okay, I've never really used a generator or an optimizer before, FanDuel has a contest that I max enter every single Thursday, and it's a nickel per entry. And if you're listening in, you're like, I want to drop more money than that. Well, it's great to say I put in 150 entries for $7.50. And so for me, it's a trial run because I don't like to put all my money in showdown. I like to be able to, you know, put it in enough, and I was profitable last year, but it gives you a chance. It's the 25K pooch punt, which is also fun to say. I won the pooch punt. So if you're one of those people that doesn't max enter, this is the one I would tell you to do it, because if you get something wrong, or if you're trying to figure out how to use the optimizer, you can put in 150 lineups. So are you planning on doing any max entering for this first one?
We'll talk about why I'm excited about doing it, but I actually might go full 150 MME, which I do not do often, and use an optimizer. And that can be really intimidating for a lot of people, especially if you're new to this. Like, it can sound so difficult and challenging to kind of get it right. But like Kyle was saying, these really, really cheap entries are a way to practice it for the main slate, and you can find yourself being more successful. So I might do that myself this week, dabble a little bit in that and see how it goes. But yeah, normally I do not do the 150 max, but man, I'm excited about this game and this matchup, and there's a lot to like on one specific side of the ball that I think the field is not valuing enough, so I might have to just go full 150. We'll see.
I'm going to tease right now, but at the very end of the episode, we're going to drop a link of how you can play with us this week for free on DraftKings, completely free. DraftKings put up $1,000, so at the very end of this episode, which will be much shorter than our normal ones, we will drop that link, and later on this week, non-podcast listeners can get in on it, but we wanted you as a group to know where we play and that you can play against us coming up. But also, we wanted to give you listeners, if you haven't gotten the DFS pass, if you haven't coupled what you're listening to our actual picks from FanDuel, from DraftKings, you know, Betts does a lot of stuff with Vegas reports, I do a pace of play article, our roster percentage report, you can use the promo code DFSPOD and get 15% off. So whether you just bought the UDK and you want to upgrade, or you just want to buy the DFS pass, use the promo code DFSPOD and you'll save 15%. And we're going to be doing that promo for a little bit at the beginning of the year because we want people to jump in with us. But this whole podcast is dedicated to Thursday night. So let's break it down.
Thursday night breakdown.
This game, I just want to bring up, is brought to you by my boy, Rod Godwin. And the reason why that matters is because I feel like he doesn't get enough publicity that his name is Rod. His first name is not Chris or Christopher. That's his middle name. It's Rod Godwin. I mean, that's like an epic name.
I love these little segments. When I was prepping the show doc yesterday, I logged in and I scrolled right past this. This is the first time I'm seeing it that you put that in there with a kind of a funny headshot. So yes, I love it. This game, this show is brought to you by Rod Godwin.
And I just posted today a hot rod video on my Twitter feed. So I'm thinking that's where I'm at, where my headspace is. It's all about Rod. But Chris Godwin, one of the players that I want to make sure we bring up, and we'll break down this game, how to construct your lineup. But for Showdown Slates, we did an episode a couple of weeks ago completely on how to attack Showdown. We previewed this game, kind of touched on it. But remember, in DraftKings, the salary goes up for your captain 1.5, and your points go up 1.5. And then in FanDuel, it's a little different where there's no salary restriction. It's just the same throughout, but they do get 1.5. So I max enter on FanDuel, and then I do the single entry on DraftKings. But before we jump in, any difference for you just in your headspace about DraftKings or FanDuel?
Yeah, I mean, I just prefer DraftKings format, especially for this, where there's actually strategy behind your captain, or on FanDuel, it's the MVP. Like, there's no opportunity cost. If you want to just take Tom Brady or Dak Prescott as one of the quarterbacks, like, you can just do it because there's no quote-unquote penalty to pay up for those guys, as on DraftKings there is. So there's a lot more, I think, strategy behind it on DraftKings, whereas FanDuel, you kind of just have to have whoever scores the most fantasy points to cash, and I feel like that takes away a little bit of the game. So I play a lot more on DraftKings for this specifically, not a ton over on FanDuel.
I agree. There's just more game theory in the DraftKings, and each week, as part of the DFS Pass, you get to write up the Thursday night preview. This week, we're doing on the podcast as kind of like a teaser. Everyone's excited to get back into DFS, so this is a gift to you people, but after this week, we will not be doing podcasts only on one game. So if you want all that content, you can get that from Bets. But why don't you just start us off from just a top-down approach of this game and how DraftKings Sportsbook sees it?
Yeah, the DraftKings Sportsbook line as of this morning, which we're recording this on Tuesday, is Tampa Bay now favored by 8. It opened at 7, then 7.5, all the way up to 8 now. The total sitting at 52. So it should be a fun environment in terms of a lot of points scored in this game. Tampa has a 30-point implied total, Dallas at 22. And I feel like really where we want to start the conversation here is, like we talked about on our strategy show, you know, when we look at where we want to build lineups around, we want to focus on the favored team. And DraftKings Sportsbook is telling us they expect Tampa to win by at least a touchdown. So personally, my thought process immediately goes to, and captain, I want to be looking at the Bucs and see kind of where we go from there. What are your thoughts on that strategy?
I think that's the right move just on the data we've seen. You know, we looked at data all the way back to 2014 for our correlation, and then even back to 2000, you know, Matt DeSorbo looked at the last 20 years, and whoever's favored is usually, Vegas is right, and so we want the quarterback that's part of that in Showdown Slates. But what I'm seeing just in terms of buzz and, like, the most popular player on this slate, I think is going to be CeeDee Lamb. Is that crazy?
In my head, it doesn't sound like it should be the case, but you can tell yourself a story as to why it is that way, right? Like, I personally don't think he's the best play on the slate, but he's been on Hard Knocks. He's now like a second round pick on Underdog if you're still doing best ball. His ADP and redraft leagues is out of control. And let's be honest, he's a fun player to root for and to watch. So yeah, that combined with his price, you know, he's below, you know, the big names of quarterback of Dak and Tom Brady. He's below Zeke. He's below Mike Evans. Like, he's below all these guys, Chris Godwin as well. So he's affordable enough that I think everyone is going to want to try to jam him in some way, whether it's the flex or a captain spot. So yes, I do think he'll be very popular one way or another.
I just wanted to start off by saying that, because the straightforward analysis for any Showdown slate is to say the quarterbacks are going to be the most popular. But what you have in this slate, in this first Showdown game, is you have a whole group of people that have been in redraft mode. And what they've seen is that CeeDee Lamb has been skyrocketing as one of the most popular players. Like, and good reason, right? He's going to be a second year wide receiver in an awesome offense. And his ADP moved from the fifth to the fourth to the third to, like you said, all the way up to the second round. And so he's a hot name. And so a lot of people that are playing this casually in bigger tournaments are going to be rostering CeeDee Lamb at an insane percentage. It doesn't mean he's a bad play. I mean, anybody on a showdown slate is playable. So don't just write off anyone. But in terms of roster construction, I think this game sets up to say Tampa Bay's favored and Tom Brady seems like the slam dunk pick because of their implied total. So is that where you want to start, is Tom Brady?
I mean, you have to start with the plant man, right? Come on. I mean, Tom Brady last year, 17 of 20 games, including the playoffs, he threw at least two touchdown passes. Many of those games were three plus touchdowns. So we've seen him not only be extremely safe, but also just have this huge ceiling. And especially last year, like over the second half of the year, you know, Bruce Arians really let Tom run the offense. Like there was kind of this initial kind of figuring it out early in the season. After that, they were up 60%+ in terms of pass to run rate. So that's what they want to do. And let's be honest, anything we saw from Dallas last year on the defensive side of the ball should not scare us in terms of this matchup. So yeah, man, I think Tom Brady is probably the safest captain on the slate. I'm going to have a ton of him and I don't play a lot of cash, but if you are playing cash in this format on this, you know, this game, I feel like you have to just go with Tom Brady and roll from there, don't you think?
Yeah, on FanDuel, pay all the way up because people are going to try to get cute. And so for us, he's the highest median projection. There's so many scenarios, but at 16,000 on FanDuel, like I'm going to be paying up. And part of those 150 lineups, which I already made, Tom Brady is a huge portion of that at captain. So he needs to at least be considered as a flex play as well in every single lineup. I don't love playing both quarterbacks because so many other people do it. And so if you're in a tournament and you want to get different, I don't mind it just going elsewhere. But Tom Brady is probably who I will have the most of captain. And then the biggest question is the wide receivers. We mentioned this on a show. It's like there are six wide receivers we like in this game. Like you could tell yourself a story that any one of those guys can be the wide receiver one on this game. So who do you like in terms of their price and in terms of rostering?
Yeah, we've kind of already established. We know CeeDee Lamb is going to be extremely popular. So I would love to play him in captain. I probably will have very little of him there just because I think the field is going to do it a lot. But for me, I'm looking at lineups that don't feature Tom Brady as the captain, one of his pass catchers. And to be honest with you, I'm going to make multiple lineups and they're all going to include someone of these three, Mike Evans, Rod, our boy, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown. You know, they're the way that you get exposure to Tom Brady, who's going to be popular, but at the same time, get a lot of leverage on the field. So let's say, for example, Chris Godwin goes out for two touchdowns and Tom Brady throws three. Like, Tom Brady could have a great game, but Chris Godwin could be the optimal captain this week. So I don't know who it's going to be. I feel like it's really tough to say. And these all three of these guys probably project somewhat similarly in terms of their ceiling outcome. So I don't know who it is, but I definitely want one of those Bucks pass catchers in captain spot for me, especially in these large field tournaments.
I feel like Antonio Brown is someone that you and I really like a lot. We've talked about on the main show. He's part of our big dog team on Underdog, so we're all about Antonio Brown, and there's some good buzz right now. He's easily the cheapest of the Bucks receivers, and if you look last year, he had pretty good positive correlation, 0.72, which is really high receiver to receiver with Chris Godwin. So that's just something to keep in mind. It's not gospel, but if I'm going to play a lineup and I'm going to include two Bucks pass catchers, it's probably going to be Brown and Godwin. Evans had a little bit of negative correlation with AB. So Antonio Brown's someone that I think I boost up and I want to be a little bit more overweight. And if I go Evans, then I might not play the other receivers. Do you think that strategy would work?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like I could see a scenario where, like we said, it's kind of any of these three guys or any combination of the two, or honestly, all three, like get there. So it's pretty thin separation. So I'm going to use roster percentage as what dictates which one I play. If the field seems to be confident that it's going to be Evans, then I'll play more Godwin and Brown and vice versa. If they think it's going to be more Godwin, I'll play more Evans and AB. And I'm just going to kind of leverage the field that way, because to be honest with you, I don't have a strong take on either of these three guys.
And we don't do roster percentages for single games, or else I would be up to my eyeballs of looking at every single game. But in terms of previewing this, Betzel gonna give like a range of outcomes sometimes. for the article. To me, it seems like Evans is going to be the most popular, then Godwin, and then Brown of those receivers. But on the Dallas side, we'll go to Dallas, talk about their pass catchers, talk about Dak, and then we'll go through the running games, which I feel like is kind of lost in this game because we like so many receivers. But on the Dallas side, Lamb's going to be the most popular. He's got a pretty easy matchup in the slot with Sean Murphy bunting. So I think that's another place that people want to exploit. But how do you play with those three Dallas receivers?
Yeah, for sure. And just to speak to that too, you know, the Bucs, like, they did a really good job of limiting downfield passes. They allowed the 10th fewest 20-plus yard receptions. So if you kind of think about the way these guys were all used last year, like Michael Gallup, and they've talked about using him differently, but last year he was like the deep ball receiver. So I think that he probably is the thinnest play on the Dallas side of the ball. Not to say that he can't get there, I just think he's the least optimal. So I will have a little bit of him, but not as much as Cooper and Lamb. So I think that those two guys probably project the best in terms of the pass catchers on that side of the ball. And then you kind of talk about, okay, so if that's the case, like, how do we project Dak Prescott? And I don't really know how to approach him in terms of his ceiling outcome, because the Bucs last year on defense were just dominant. And we talked about that. But at the same time, we also spent several shows telling people that, well, maybe defensive matchups aren't as important as what they seem on the surface. So I'm not really sure how to handle it. I do think he's going to be a really contrarian captain play, because if it's not CeeDee Lamb, I could see a lot of people leaning more towards the Bucs. But I'm just not sure he gets there in this matchup.
Yeah, the matchup in the Vegas line that we gave from DraftKings Sportsbook doesn't set up well. I did find a weird quirk that Tampa Bay allowed 5 more points per game at home last year than on the road, which is really weird. You remember their playoff run, it was like at Washington, at New Orleans, at Green Bay. Like, their defense turned it on in a lot of road games. So I wouldn't be scared to play Dak, but I probably will be a little bit under what the field does, because I like Brady a little bit more. And I'll mention this about Cooper. He feels like a forgotten man because CeeDee Lamb has just skyrocketed so much. He had a bunch of negative correlation with Gallup, so I probably won't be playing those same two in the same lineup. But on FanDuel, he would be an interesting captain because he's the most expensive of those receivers, and I just feel like he's in a position where he's going to be forgotten. So Cooper is somebody, he's a pay-up in FanDuel just to get different. But let's talk about these running backs, because Zeke is insanely expensive. What does he have to do to actually pay off?
Yeah, he's really tough. He is the third highest salary on FanDuel. And is he third on? Yeah, he's third on DraftKings as well. So he's the third highest priced player on the entire slate. And he's right behind the quarterback. So I don't know that he has the type of ceiling that we're looking for in this matchup to get there. You know, the Bucs, they just stifled opponents to the lowest yards per carry rate in the NFL last year. They were 10 in the league in tackles in the backfield, tackles for loss. So, like, I don't know, man. Zeke has a huge ceiling. He does. But in this matchup, I think he's probably not the best play. I'm not going to have a ton of him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. The surprising thing when I was looking at the correlation numbers is he had really positive correlation with CeeDee Lamb. It was a very nice 0.69, which is kind of weird to think.
Very
like,
nice.
You'd think,
very nice.
You'd think, is this a Zeke game or is this like a receiver game? But those two actually showed a lot of positive correlation. So if you're constructing a lineup that has Zeke as the captain, like, I don't mind putting in someone like Lamb. Don't just forget the receivers is my point. Tampa Bay, where they did allow stuff, was in the receiving game. I can't get cute and say it's Tony Pollard, like something could happen. But when Zeke's healthy, like, don't count on Pollard at all. And then on the Tampa Bay side, it's like, pick your game script. Like, how do you think this is going to go? You cannot put Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette in the same lineup. Like, it's not possible. If you think it's a defensive game, then maybe you go Fournette and you go the defense. And Gio, it's like, maybe he gets some pass catching work. But what do you think? I mean, Gio's super cheap on DraftKings, 2000. Like, that's the only reason I'd use him.
Yeah, I think he's a fine flex play. I don't think I play him on FanDuel. He's just his full PPR scoring format, right? Like, we care about his receptions. We don't really want him to be carrying the ball. We don't really care as much about that. But he did play every third down snap with the first team offense in the preseason with the Bucs. So they're telling us that he's probably going to be Tom Brady's new James White potentially. And if he is, he doesn't need to do that much to pay off 2,000 on a showdown slate. Like, he can go 4 or 5 receptions for 40 to 50 yards. And at $2,000, that's probably fine to kind of pay off and get there. So yeah, I think he's a fine flex play. Obviously, we know the ceiling is very, very capped. In terms of the other two guys, like, I don't see a scenario where I play Fat Len, honestly. Lombardi
you
Len, honestly.
Him.
I mean,
you hate him.
I just, last year he was good because he was being used in the passing game. But if they're telling us it's Geo this year, which they could be wrong, but that's kind of what we've seen in the preseason. If it's going to be Geo and he's splitting time with Rojo, like, you're flipping a coin to see if he falls in the end zone or not. And I don't want to have a bad Thursday night. Let's just put it that way. I'd rather sweat, you know, CeeDee Lamb or Chris Godwin than Leonard Fournette as my captain.
The Tampa Bay running backs are how you create leverage on the field because Tampa Bay is the favorite. So you can see a scenario where one of them gets two touchdowns and they become the optimal captain. But you're going to have to construct your lineup in a way that says either this game hits the under or the touchdowns are just solely on the ground. So Rojo, to me, is an interesting contrarian captain. You know, he's probably going to be a captain like under 5%, maybe 3-4%. So I might have a lineup or two out there right now that have Rojo as the captain. And then I'll just say this about the tight ends. If you're going to play a tight end, you need to play the quarterbacks. Like, that's where the correlation is. And then Betts and I, we just, in Showdown, we don't really play the defense or the kickers. Anything you want to say about that?
No, I mean, I will play those two positions when it makes sense. We talked about it two shows ago, talking about like higher level thoughts on Showdown. And we found that, like, you know, when the game total is like 40 or less, the kicker and the defense are way more optimal plays than when Vegas projects this 50 plus total game. So if you want to get contrarian and build a different game script with them in your lineup, be my guest. I personally will not be doing that.
All right, so before we close the show, let's just go through a couple of game scripts that you like and how you construct your lineup.
All right, man. Let's go with the most obvious here. Tampa Bay covers, right? They come out, they win by at least a touchdown, as DraftKings Sportsbook is telling us. For me, the optimal captain is going to be Tom Brady, in my opinion, or one of his pass catchers. And then I like to bring it back in those types of lineups with at least one of the Dallas wide receivers to kind of say, okay, if this game goes off, you know, Tampa pushes Dallas to throw the ball, you can see Dak and his pass catchers get there as flex plays as well.
If it is a back and forth shootout, give me a wide receiver because we're in full PPR, because we can get a bonus, and because the wide receivers get 6 points per passing touchdown instead of four. So, I mean, pick one of the big three. I liked Antonio Brown earlier just because he's in awesome form. Use the QBs as a flex and make sure you are doing some correlation, and hit us with one more.
Yeah, let's say Dallas pulls the upset. If you're building around that, you would have to think it's through the passing game from Dak. We talked about how difficult this matchup is for Zeke on paper. So if they get there, it's probably through Dak and the receivers. And we kind of highlighted, we think CeeDee Lamb will be popular. He would make it for a very appropriate captain play, as would the other guys, you know, Amari Cooper and Dak in that game scenario.
So in terms of stacking, it's pretty obvious. We've said it's probably Tom Brady and minimum of two pass catchers, but don't feel bad if you're going 4-1, like, and you want to create leverage on the field. I think that's something we've talked about a lot. Brady could sneak one in, but because he doesn't run, we want his pass catchers. And if you're going to use one of those Tampa Bay wide receivers at captain, you need to be able to clearly stack him with Brady as a flex. That has to be in there. And then you are saying, I want at least one of the Dallas pass catchers, so maybe two, and set it up that way. But give me your Vegas pick, and I feel like we're on the same boat here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bucs here to cover. I just think top to bottom, they're a much better roster. Less concerns as well about, you know, the health of the team. And obviously, Dallas will be out without Zach Martin on the offensive line because of COVID. Dak hasn't played a lot this preseason or in training camp. So they're kind of, it's a question mark, you know. So I'll bet on TB12 most often than not. And usually that means you're right. So I'll go with the plant man.
Yes, I'm going to take Tampa Bay as well, minus the 8. It was at 7.5, which sounded better, but at the 8. But as we close, I was teasing it earlier, we will have a DraftKings listener league that you get to be a part of. And here's the easiest way to do it. Go to ballersdfs.com. Super simple website. ballersdfs.com. And it will direct you directly to the DraftKings league that's titled Fantasy Footballers DFS Borg Plus Bets. And you join the league. So make sure you join the league. And it will actually show a week one contest that is free. DraftKings created this for us, $1,000 prize pool, and it is unlimited. for the entire slate right now.
Well said.
That means you, your mama, your best friend, they can join this and it is free. And so we want to make sure that fills up, because if we do that, we can get more and more free contests from DraftKings. In the future, Betts and I will definitely be able to open up more contests. But this first week, let's make sure we fill this thing as much as we can. BallersDFS.com. It is going to be a grand old time. Why don't you close this down, Betts?
And just one point of clarification for that. That is for the main slate. So we're playing that on Sunday. That is not for the showdown contest. But to get warmed up for the main slate, play some showdown with us and look for a Thursday night preview in the DFS pass. We'll see you on Friday.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com.